Thank you for listening to the KBOO Evening News. I'm Sam Bowman. On Tuesday, the president held one of his notorious campaign-style rallies in Phoenix, Arizona. While he spoke and shouted to a large audience, many of whom had waited for hours in 100-plus degree heat, thousands of counter-protesters gathered outside. Phoenix Cop Watch is a police watchdog group in the area. They have a long history, including standing up to often unchecked profiling and abuses of power by Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio. Arpaio was indicted in federal court this summer for ignoring rules about profiling suspects, but the president intimated at Tuesday's rally that he would probably pardon Arpaio ahead of his sentencing hearing in October. I spoke this afternoon with Dan Hemry of Phoenix Cop Watch, who was at Tuesday's counter-protest. Dan, can you just tell me a little bit about the counter-protest on Tuesday night? What was your vantage point there? Were you there as a member of Cop Watch, or were you there as a protester?
Well, I was there as a protester. I wasn't there as Cop Watch. I did film. I put one video up on YouTube from it. Took a few still shots and mostly helped people out with heat exhaustion.
About how many people, just from your vantage point, would you say were there protesting against the rally?
At any given moment, there was probably 3,000 to 5,000 people in the small free speech zone that was designated for them.
All right.
It was probably closer to 15,000 over a period of 4 hours.
Okay, and it was set up as with the sort of free speech zone model.
It was zoned, and it had barricades and surrounding it entirely. It was really kind of sad because there were so many more people than could fit in that area that thousands of people would come in and thousands would leave and more thousands would arrive.
About how many police would you say were there?
I would say probably less than 50 to start with, around, let's say, 7 o'clock. And then as the night progressed, it got to be probably 200 to 400.
To the extent that you're able to answer this, did it seem to be primarily Phoenix PD, or were there other agencies involved?
You know, it was hard to tell. It seemed like it was primarily the Phoenix Police Department.
Can you give us an idea what the makeup of the crowd was?
Yeah, I took a good walk through. It was a variety of folks. A real cross-section of the city was there. There were LGBT protesting. There was Antifa, and they were in Black Bloc. Just a huge, huge cross-section of the city was there.
Yeah, and so in Phoenix, leading up to this event, how would you describe the mood in the city leading up to it? I mean, I understand it is one of the more, I guess, Trump-leaning states, but did the city of Phoenix feel like it was welcoming the president on Tuesday?
Well, I know the mayor asked him to not come, so that started it off. And then we were expecting a pardon for our wonderful ex-sheriff, Arpaio.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people were really jacked up about that. And so a lot of the signs were kind of skewed between that and between Trump. So some of them were, you can't pardon hate, and those type of themes. And then others were more directed at the president.
It was said by the Phoenix Police Department that they began their clearance operation, tear gas, pepper spray, pepper balls. They had seen projectiles being thrown from the crowd, including gas in some form, gas canisters or something. Did you see anything that would indicate that's true?
No. There were folks that were assigned to do de-escalation, and they were specifically going to anybody who looked like they were about to, you know, bust out. And so they would go and help de-escalate fights and de-escalate protesters that were just getting too wild, we'll call it. But at the time that they actually started their volleys of pepper spray, the film from it and all of the indications are there was nothing that set them off. There was a group that was ready to split off and march towards the Capitol, but they basically got the first round of pepper spray with a bunch of elderly people, children. They were from a church, United Church of Christ. They had planned a march that was going to leave the protest area and go towards the Capitol. And that was right around the time that everything kind of let loose.
To your knowledge, did anyone get taken to the hospital because of pepper spray?
There was that one kid that got, he kicked a canister back towards them. He was in blue shorts. And he ran up and kicked the canister, whatever was spewing out of it, back towards them. And then they shot him in the groin with another canister.
With a canister?
Yeah, that's what it looked like. Because it seemed like there was like more smoke coming out of it when it hit him. And then he went down, and people had to grab him from the middle of the street and take him off to the side.
You're definitely talking about a projectile bigger than like a pepper ball or something.
Yes, and it looked like, yeah, it looked like a canister. And there's good footage of that. I've seen some really good footage that were people right there in front of him practically and filmed it. There was others that shot it from above, from a parking garage. But the guy clearly was injured. I don't know what happened to him, but everybody else who got injured from it was mostly from eyes and irritation, and some people threw up. It caught everybody off guard, but then we had medics that were present to help. And there were people with gas masks that went into the fog and brought people out of it that couldn't get themselves up and out of there. And they were treated on the scene. The only people that went to the hospital were two people from heat exhaustion. The other 56 people that were treated for heat exhaustion, I don't think any of them ended up in the hospital.
You were there as a private citizen, but you are also a member of Phoenix Cop Watch. How does this square with other protest events and the police's response to protest events in Phoenix? Is this pretty typical, or is it tame, or more than you would expect? Or,
well, let's see. I was thinking back to when the last time was that the police had lined up like this and squared off against everybody. There's been a few immigrant protests that didn't end quite that way. And then there was Occupy, which would be 2011. But since Occupy, I can't really recall any major actions by the police in Phoenix that used this level of weaponry and stuff like that. I've seen it in other cities, way more intense than it was here. But here, the Occupy one was where the police tricked them into going to a park off-site from where they were, and then they basically surrounded them, made them sit down, and arrested each one at a time. And I don't remember, but maybe one person got pepper spray, but it was so docile and so complacent that they really haven't had I just can't recall of any other times, really, in the last, let's say, 6-7 years, really, that they've done anything like this.
Interesting. Did Cop Watch have much interaction with the county sheriffs under Joe Arpaio?
Well, our first interaction that was done on behalf of immigrants was in 2006, and we approached the sheriff with a group of us, and he had a whole bunch of reporters, and kind of crashed what we were doing, and so we had to confront him directly. But it was over him having people arrested and then convicting themselves for being their own coyote.
Huh.
I guess the state law said you weren't supposed to be a coyote, and so it was a more harsh punishment. And so it required that they self-incriminate.
And these are people who, I guess, were, like, traveling by themselves or were arrested by themselves?
I suppose that's right. It was a trick. The law was passed about dealing with coyotes, and then Maricopa sheriffs decided to arrest people and get them to try and indict themselves, self-incriminate, which is not supposed to happen. And we confronted him about that and asked him to stop using the law the way it wasn't intended. That was before the massive marches, and so the massive marches took place maybe the next year in 2007 or 2008, and that was definitely one of those things that we zeroed in on early and were first up to really confront the Sheriff's Department directly and Arpaio directly about that.
And Arpaio, especially outside of Arizona and like up here, he is a, you know, he's this totemic figure who represents a certain way of policing the border. But it, now that he is out of office, has anything changed with the Maricopa County sheriffs?
Well, they were supposed to close the concentration camp we called Tent City, and they haven't closed it yet. I guess there's still 200 people languishing in the heat over there in the tent. So that hasn't changed. I'm not hearing a lot of reports of profiling, which is the case that he was involved in, and eventually he was convicted of going against the judge's order, the contempt order, and he was convicted of that. But the whole profiling operations where he would go out and pull over brown people and see how many people he could get and then tear up all the documentation so nobody could prove that he did it. And then also these raids on employers that were just random and swept up everybody and those type of things. We haven't had any of those in several years.
And how are people in Phoenix that you know of reacting to the potential that seems pretty likely that Arpaio will be pardoned by the president?
Well, it took many years to get that conviction of him. And lots of people worked on the project. We filmed them stopping people and documented what they did so that, you know, our documentation won because they didn't have any. They tore all theirs up. And so that took a lot of manpower and a lot of time and effort to follow them around and follow them for their stop and bring the body of evidence that eventually was used in that case. So everybody had a stake in it for a long time to get him even just slightly, you know, held accountable for what he did. And if he's pardoned, it really is a slap in the face to all the people who worked on those projects to prove that profiling was taking place and that he was constantly going against the judge and various other rules and regulations that don't allow for that.
Dan, I think I'll let you go for now, but is there anything you'd like to add?
You know, there was a march in Phoenix, a Nazi rally march in 2009, that I recall, and they were going to the Federal Plaza to probably support the SB 1070, which is, you know, show me your papers by the law, and they were mad that they weren't enforcing it enough. We shut them down before they even got to the plaza and delayed them for 2 hours before they made it there because they got lost.
Oh.
To just wrap it up, basically ever since we shut down that Nazi march, because they did make it to the plaza and they did, you know, go home, but they have never formed up another meeting of the Nazis in public to do one of their public rallies here since 2009, and that's because we were so effective at shutting them down.
Oh, great. That's definitely of interest to us up here. We've had about three or four of them just this summer.
It really takes a concerted community effort and to stay on top of it. And you can keep it from happening if you start right away and early and often. And we proved that. And we have yet to see them pull that trick here again.
Oh, great. So I've been speaking with Dan Hemry of Phoenix Cop Watch down in Phoenix, Arizona. Dan, thank you so much for talking with me today.
You're welcome, Sam. Pleasure.
For KBOO Evening News in Portland, Oregon, I'm Sam Bowman.